What's up, New Numa fam? The time has finally come for me to step up my game on YouTube. So in January 2023, I will begin focusing most of my attention on building not one, but two YouTube channels. One will focus on just audio and the other on live videos. So do me a favor, take out your phone, go to your YouTube app, and subscribe to both channels now. Look for New Numa Godcast Live as well as New Numa Godcast Audio and subscribe right now because later is too late. Thanks, fam. Peace.
Hey, you're listening to Timothy Robinson on the New Numa Godcast. Please make sure you tune in every week to your host, Norman Brown, and please make sure you subscribe for further episodes. God bless.
They just knew the urgency, but in all honesty, I would have been gone, and no one would have ever heard of me again.
Yeah. So since then, I know that you talk about the fact that you are an advocate, obviously against human trafficking or whatever. So, what types of things have you become involved with, or like what types of efforts have you been able to make in a fight against that?
I mean, the best I can do is just try to educate people. I try to talk to young girls. You know, again, it goes back to in America, we have this mindset like it'll never happen. It'll never happen. I don't care if you're black, white, I don't care. It's an American mindset. Oh, that'll never happen here. And it is. And it does. And it's actually happening right under your nose. Just here in California during the Super Bowl, I think it was between 500 or 5,000. I know that's a major shift, but it was somewhere in between there of people that were caught because of sex trafficking.
Wait a minute. You said you mean caught meaning like they were taken?
No, they were caught by police and women.
Oh, they were about to take somebody. Oh, okay.
Yes. Or they took them and they were found out and women were set free. And this was just in the Super Bowl. This past Super Bowl here in California.
Wow. That is crazy.
That were women that were rescued from sex trafficking.
Well, I don't know how. Go ahead.
It's big business.
I don't know how familiar you are with the stats and whatnot, but I've been hearing that Baltimore is the number two trafficking place in America. And it's just like crazy because they talk about the fact that, you know, they will be, you know, in these vans or something like that. Matter of fact, I just recently heard, I was somewhere recently, and I was hearing this man talk about how there's this one method that they're using where they'll send a man, he'll look around, he'll be somewhere like at a field or something like that where there's a game going on or whatnot, and he'll look to see which young girl or whatever that he feels like would be a good candidate to go take. And what he'll do is he would go up to them, because I was hearing this from a guy who used to do this. Or he knows a guy that used to do it or something like that. And he was like, this was the way they would do it. And so what they would do, they'd send this guy, he would go talk to the female, and then he'll ask them, so where's your father or whatever? And then if the girl says something like he's not in her life or they don't have a good relationship or whatever, then he'll play the role of a fatherly type of guy to gain their confidence. And then at some point, he's able to then snatch her out of wherever she is, and she's gone. And that's another method that's being used now. And it's just so angering and it's so like disgusting at the same time, because, you know, as I'm listening to this, I mean, I have two daughters, and I've had to tell them, you know, in many ways, I say, hey, you know, there's a certain things that I'm not going to let you do. And I know you don't like it, I know that you want to go to certain people's houses and all this kind of stuff. You think you want to go to parties or you want to go to a sleepover or whatever, and I don't let you. But there's a reason. I'm like, first of all, I don't know what those people are into in their house. I don't know what's going on in that environment when I'm not around. I don't know what could happen to you overnight or whatever the case may be. But what I do know is that if you don't go there, it won't happen to you. And so I try to tell them, you know, thankfully they're both, you know, they're getting, you know, to be almost, my one is about to graduate this year, so thank God for that. The other one, she's getting ready to go into high school. But the point is that I've tried to protect them as much as I can, and to the point where they didn't get to have as much so-called fun and sleepovers and all this other kind of stuff that maybe other people have had and you know, talked about or whatever. But my thing is, I know how I've heard stories of people who, you know, they would go to people's houses and, you know, something would happen over there, and then next thing you know, they were, you know, raped or they were sexually molested, whatever. It's something that could have happened to them. And it was all because they were in the wrong person's house, and it was for some so-called sleepover, something that was supposed to be innocent or whatever, and then something happened to them. And so my whole life, not my whole life, but my whole their whole life, I've been trying to make sure that I don't put them in a situation that is compromised, that I would not trust whoever they're around or whatever. I've made sure of that as much as possible. And I basically, you know, in many ways, I shut down any of their, you know, if you want to call it extracurricular activities of being able to go out with friends and stuff like that. Because I'm like, hey, well, where are you trying to go with your friends? Oh, we want to just go to the mall. Oh, and what you going to do in the mall? And how long are you going to be trying to be there? And who else is going to be there? You know, I'm asking all these questions because I'm like, I know how kids can be, and I know how you can have the one idiot among all the rest of you that'll make it bad for everybody. And so I'm like, I don't know these kids, and one of the things I've told them many, many times, if I don't know them, they ain't your friend. I don't care what you say, they're not your friend. I need to know them. And if I don't know them, then they ain't your friend. They just an associate or a peer from your school. And if I don't know their parents, that makes it even worse. Because if I don't know them and I don't know what kind of person they are or whatever, then as far as I'm concerned, they're nobody. They're nobody in your life as far as I'm concerned.
That's
the way that I've had to approach things with them, you know, for their whole lives. I have sons, too, but I specifically was really concerned about my daughters, you know, that I had to make sure that they were not in the wrong kinds of environments and things of that nature where something could happen to them, which could lead to a whole lot of other things. And more importantly, more than anything, it's like I know the reality of how when women experience certain types of traumas, and especially at a young age, how it affects them even as they get older. And so I've been trying my best to prevent that kind of thing from happening so that they won't be scarred for life or whatever. You know what I'm saying? So the things you're saying are very important for people to know and to be aware of, you know. And like you said, it's getting worse, and it's here in front of our faces. And if we're not opening our eyes to see, then we, you know, we're going to miss it. And that's why, like, I'm one of those kind of people, and I'm sure you're like this because you come from a city and you come from a place where it was certain things going on. You probably have your eyes peeled all the time wherever you go. You're looking around. You're checking out what looks, you know, like out of place or whatever. Who looks out of place? What's not looking kosher or whatever? And just, like, I'm always doing that wherever I go. And, you know, I'm just like, it's just, everything is suspect until, until otherwise proven.
Until proven innocent.
You know what I'm saying? So
that's real.
So I'm not. I just don't let you know my guard down when it comes to being out in the public and seeing what's going on. You know, I'm just like, I'm always on guard. You know, this has nothing to do with what we're talking about, but I hate when the people come up to you and the first thing they say is God bless you. Because in a sense, I already know you ain't saying God bless me. What you're saying is I'm getting you ready to ask you for something. You know what I'm saying? Oh, you trying to prepare. Exactly.
Right.
What kind of money are you trying to get from me right now?
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? Like, that's the next thing. How much money, you know, can I get some change? Can I get some money? Can you buy this for me? You know? And, you know, it's whatever. But, yeah, so that's interesting. But so I guess one of the things that, I talked about it before when we first started this interview. Obviously, you've been in WandaVision. You've also been on Grey's Anatomy. You've written a book. So tell me about, first of all, tell me about this book that you wrote. I know it's a children's book. Tell me about that book.
Yeah. Well, I wrote the book as a professional model, right in the height of my modeling career. And I wrote it initially as a poem to myself. And it was mostly at that time just trying to figure out who I was and what was going on, you know, because like I said, I looked at my life, especially back then, as a problem, not realizing God's hand in it. It wasn't until, you know, I got older, more mature, that I started seeing, oh, that was you, God. You know, the whole time I'm trying to live my life, God's like, no, I'm trying to live mine through you, you know. So I wrote this poem to myself, and I remember one of the women, she was a model, she was a very strong woman of God. And I read it to her, and she was like, my God, that's a beautiful story. And I was just like, no, it's a poem. She's like, no, that's a story. Like, so me and a friend of mine, one day just before I moved to France, just before all of this happened when I went to France, we just kind of locked ourselves in his apartment, and we literally just did the entire illustration and put the book, made it a book. It went from being a poem. We just broke it down into a book, and we just kind of shelved it for like 8 years, just kind of put it on a shelf like, all right, well, we did it, but, you know, nothing really came about of it. And then finally during the pandemic, it was like life, you know, life just slowed down for everybody. We all had nothing but time. And God was like, now I want you to finish the things that you started, which was the clothing line, the brand that I had, and the book, you know. And I really was just going to keep that book to myself. I really had not thought that it would ever come to pass. And it was a lot of resistance. Don't get me wrong. A lot of people were just kind of, oh, that book is stupid, or it ain't that great, or it's short. Why isn't it longer? Why isn't it? And I'm like, this is what the Lord told me to do. Again, going back to what I've been saying to y'all, follow what the Lord told you to do. My book made no sense to people. These were 65-year-old men, 60-something-year-old women, and they like looking, well, that's a stupid book. Well, the book wasn't for you, sir. The book is for children, you know? And if I had listened to these people, or even followed their instructions or how they told me to do it, I would not be sitting here having this conversation about this book. So I went ahead and did it anyway. I published it myself, sold it on Amazon, and now this book has literally gone global. It's over in Japan. It's over in Africa. You know, people have been saying, teachers have been calling me left and right to read my book to their students, and these are like kids anywhere from like really, really young, I'd say 4 or 5 year old to like 9, 10, even some teenagers, you know, have read my book. Even some adults have read my book. I'm like, yo, that book like touched me. It is a very simple to the point book, but again, it was initially a poem that I wrote to myself, but I just broke it down into a book. So the story is about me. It's my life. I'm the character in the book. The character on the front of the book is me. I drew the picture myself, but my friend Tyrone Peter, which he's the illustrator in the book, he just took from my picture that I drew of myself, which is the front cover picture. He digitally, you know, made it digital because I drew it freehand, but he made it digital, and then he copied that character and just went through the book and made it, you know, put her throughout the entire book. So it's to the point. It's not a very long book. It's very short, but it's very, the story, the message is very powerful. And still, it's basically, the book is called But Beauty Wasn't Within Me, meaning it was me discovering for myself, not through people, not through society, not through family or anything, but finding out through myself that I was beautiful. I had to find that out for myself. And so, once you discover that, yeah.
No, say that again. Say that again.
I was saying once you discover that for yourself, no one can ever take that from you.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that that right there in and of itself is a very important thing for people to hear, because it's something going on with this generation where identity is the major topic. Yeah. And identity, whether it be them talking about their so-called gender issues or whatever, they got these stupid terms like binary, non-binary, they, them, she, her, all that nonsense. And all of this is also to dehumanize, depersonalize people. Like, it is making them like they're just objects instead of a living, breathing being that was made in the image and likeness of God. And now there's this struggle of what do they call themselves, you know? And this has been created by the agenda that the alphabet letters has brought to the world. You know what I'm mm-hmm. talking about when I say alphabet letters, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So
yeah. Yeah, I'm listening.
Okay. So basically, I've been noticing this for a while now, where there's this fight to know who they are. It's a generation that's trying to fight to know who they are. And they have so many things that are coming up against their identity, or questioning their identity, or making them question themselves, or making them feel like they're the wrong identity, or they're the wrong gender, or whatever. And now even trying to almost remove genders. I mean, it's just such perversion that's going on with this whole thing about who we are and and the whole, basically the idea where we're going. I wrote a book, my first book that I wrote, it was about false prophets because of an experience that I went through. But in the book, one of the things that I wrote in the book, I took it out because someone advised me that really was not part of the book. It should not have been part of my book. But I wrote this chapter where I was talking about identity, and I was talking about the fact that there's a spirit that's been released that's causing, you know, people to, a lot of people to turn towards same-sex situation. And number one, they call it love, but it's really about sex. It has nothing to do with love. Because in order for you to say, I am a homosexual or I am a lesbian or something like that, that means that you are having sex with the same sex. It doesn't mean that you love somebody of the same sex. So they're now trying to pervert what love is and trying to say, oh, you don't want me to love who I want to love, or, you know, this type of thing. You know, they won't let you love who you want to love and all that. But, again, it has nothing to do with love. But here's what it does have to do with. Mm-hmm. Just imagine a world where, first of all, if you're talking about the way God made us, he made us to be male and female, and the Bible tells us that in the book of Genesis. He made us male and female. And one of the things that he told us to do was to be fruitful and multiply, replenish the earth. But if, let's say, by some chance, all people on the earth at some point became gay, or whatever you want to call it, and you got the men were only going to now be with the men, and the women were only going to be with the women, and they weren't going to do anything to prolong the existence of human beings, humans would be wiped out within 100 years.
Mm-hmm.
that would be one of the greatest victories that Satan could have ever had over God. Because Satan's whole thing is to take whatever God created for one thing and to pervert it, to defy God. And what better way to defy God than to have all humans become same-sex, focused, and to then turn away from natural affection to something that's perverted. And then, therefore, that would mean the end of all humanity.
Right.
It is
one thing
very...
that the Lord showed me.
Uh-huh.
I'm sorry. Wait a minute.
Go ahead.
One of the things that the Lord did show me, and he said to me, and I was here in Hollywood, and I was on a set, there was a kid that approached me, and he wanted to argue, he wanted to banter, and that's one thing I refuse. I will not argue or banter because God's not called us to do that. He's not calling us to fight and argue. The Bible does not need to be interpreted. The Bible interprets itself. You know, it will say, you know, what it needs to say, but... So I don't get into this, but I had a kid try to corner me, and he was a gay kid, you know, and he believed in God, but, you know, he had his lifestyle that he was struggling with. And I remember him coming up to me, and he kept saying something along this line, and I never forgot what God had to give him, because I definitely would not have come up with this myself. So I can't take credit for it. I can't act like it's mine. It was not. It was God. But he said to me, I have a hard time believing that a loving God is going to send me to hell because I'm gay. That's what he said. And it was like, I don't want to talk about this. Like, I'm not, you know, why, out of all the people in the room, you chose me to talk to. And he said, I just have a real problem with that. What do you think about that? And he wasn't asking me because he really wanted to know my opinion. He wanted to argue. He wanted to banter. And I refused to banter. And I wasn't going to acknowledge it. I was going to just walk away, but the Lord put it on my heart to say to him, and this is what God said to me, to say to him. And the Lord said, you're right. God is not going to send you to hell for being gay. He's not going to do that. You will go to hell for sexual sin. And for that very reason, you don't have to be gay for sexual sin. You could be straight and be in sexual sin. Anything outside of marriage that you're having sex with, it could be with animals, it could be, you know, masturbation, it could be, you know, with same sex, it could be heterosexual, whatever. If it's sex outside of marriage, it is sin, and that is condemnable to hell.
And what do you say then?
I think that's the part. He couldn't say anything. And that's the part that the enemy is really hiding the most. Because while we're sitting here fighting this battle of, oh, well, gay people saying this to Christians, Christian people going up, you know, everybody's fighting and bickering and arguing, the bottom line is what? Sexual sin. Period. Period. And all of us stand to be guilty of that, no matter what we choose or who we're trying to be or what it is we're doing. We all will answer to God for sexual sin if that's what we're doing. Gay, straight, no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the biggest deception in this entire thing, is the enemy has everybody fighting and bickering over everything but the bottom line. And the bottom line is sexual sin.
Yeah.
People are going to hell for sexual sin. And we're all guilty. We're all guilty. Just because I'm straight, you know, I'm a heterosexual woman, just because I'm a hetero doesn't mean I have a license to go have sex and do, you know, the same stuff that we point the finger at gay people for doing, we don't have a right to do ourselves.
Yeah.
But that's the part that the enemy is blinding all of us across. He's blinding our eyes to that. Is the actual thing, the sexual sin.
And
what
does
the Bible say about sexual sin? What does the Bible say about sexual sin?
Those who are involved in it, they will have their part in the lake of fire.
But it also says it's what you do to, that's the sin, sexual sin is what you do to the body.
Yeah, you do it to
the body. Sin is outside. Right. Every sin is outside of the body. But sexual sin, now that's you. That's internal. That's coming into you. And I don't care what form of sexual sin you get yourself into, it is all condemnable to hell if it is outside of the confines of marriage.
Yeah.
The way God, the way biblically the Lord says marriage is. I was going to say, so I think that's the part that people are being blinded. I can't say they're overlooking. That's the part that the enemy is trying to blind the eyes to.
Well, something came to me yesterday that I never thought of the way that it came to me. I know this was the Lord just making me think about this, but sin in itself makes people do stupid things.
Yeah, yeah.
Give you a good example. I can be so angry at somebody in a moment based on something so silly, but because of sin, I could go and murder that person over that.
Yep.
And then later on, right after the murder happens, I realized I made a mistake and I was stupid. And I was like, I could be like, oh, no, what did I do? So
exactly.
The sin blinded me to what I was about to do and the results of that, meaning the consequences. So you don't make wise decisions when you get caught up in sin. It's just never, it's never even possible. You can't be wise and be sinning at the same time. It's just not possible.
That's right.
So
that's right.
The thing is that, like, when you think about things like people being, you know, hating you because of your color, why in the world does that make sense? How can you make sense of that? That makes no sense, and that's the whole point. It is because of sin that a person would even think that way, and it doesn't make a bit of sense. So that's the thing about sin. That we all need to realize sin will blind you to the truth.
That's right.
And it will
cause
you to not realize what you're doing is going to end up bad. And so that's the reason why people can do really crazy things. I mean, I watched you. I don't know if you've ever watched it or have you watched it much, but I watched First 48 a lot.
Yes.
I watched almost all their episodes. But anyway, one of the things that I keep seeing come up most of the time is people have the dumbest reasons for why they murder somebody.
Yeah.
They'll have the dumbest situation, or they'll say, I mean, I heard this one guy, he was like, I mean, he was coming at me with this, I thought it was a real gun. And then it turns out it was a fake gun.
Yep.
But you shot him, and it wasn't even like they shot at you. They were just holding it or whatever, and then you just decided to start blasting away at them. And it's like, wait a minute. You didn't realize that was a fake gun?
Exactly.
You know, I mean, it's just things like that. And, I mean, the point I'm making is that sin overall is going to make people do the dumbest things, things that don't make any sense. And one of the things that even shows us this is how so-called intelligent beings can do things that go against what even animals would do.
Yeah.
How in the world can you say that you're intelligent, but you're doing things that an animal won't even do? And I'm talking about things that will hurt you, things that will, you know, that are not, they don't even make sense. It's such a perversion or whatever of things that it doesn't make any sense, but you would do this to yourself and an animal wouldn't even think to do it. It's things like that that show how powerful and how tricky sin is and whatnot. So, you know, I wanted to ask you about like what's been, you know, happening for you recently, because I know that you've been involved in WandaVision, which was pretty recent. Grey's Anatomy, you've been involved in that. And then I think I saw something recently on your Instagram about something with HBO. Am I correct in saying that?
Probably. Honestly, I don't remember at this point. I've done a lot of things here in Hollywood and just kind of built my way. And again, following what God tells me to do and not taking everybody else's lead. You know, even with the WandaVision, again, that was following God's lead. You know, your average black actress was going for the more sexy roles, you know, trying to be the sexier style look and this, that, and the other. And, you know, God didn't call me to do that. God told me to be more like myself, which is a little rough around the edges, a little tomboyish, you know, like I'm all 100% woman, but, you know, just like I didn't mind doing the fighting and the sequences and those types of things. And I trained how to fight, how to box. One of my first TV shows that gave me my union status in Hollywood was on a TV show called Kingdom, where I was played an MMA fighter for like two seasons, you know. And the Lord was even then navigating my career, and it made no sense because your average black actress, you know, the people I was around, they were like, well, you got to do it this way, and you got to be over here, and you got to work with this person, and you got to act like this, and your picture should look like that. And I was doing the stark opposite. You know, I wanted to play the villain. I wanted to play the, you know, this type of character and that type of character that nobody else wanted to do. And thank God I followed what the Lord told me to do. Because I started out in WandaVision, in the movie Captain Marvel, just kind of took on a part where I was a Skrull. I was one of the Skrulls, the original Skrulls, that when they first came to the screen, to the big screen in the MCU Marvel Universe. And people were kind of like, why would you do that? Like, why would you take that type of job? You know, and real actors don't do this and real actors don't do that. I followed what the Lord told me and gave me to do. And as I got out there, Marvel came looking for me. I didn't go looking for Marvel. Now, hear what I just said. Marvel came looking for me. There are people right now, top celebrities that would give their right arm just for Marvel, just to have a Marvel position. Marvel came looking for me. That's the favor of God. Because I followed what God told me to do. I followed what God said. I didn't do it Hollywood way. I did it with God, the way God had me do it. And I'm not saying that like I had it all together, like I understood. I didn't. I just did what God told me to do. I didn't understand it myself, but I just did what he told me to do. And here in the middle of the pandemic, when nobody was working, I wasn't even looking for work. I didn't know anything about this opportunity at all. I'd never even heard of WandaVision. I was doing my own thing. And all of a sudden, Marvel called me and was like, hey, we want to give her this opportunity. And I said no. Initially, I said no because I didn't understand what they were asking me. I just was like, no, I'm good. And I turned it down. And then the Lord was like, no, call them back. Humble yourself. Humble yourself. Call them back and do the job. You know, and I was like, but I don't want to, you know, that type of work no more, you know. And the Lord was trying to bless me. He didn't tell me what I was doing because I thought it was going to be more of the type of work that I was doing before. And I was like, I don't want to do that anymore. And the Lord was like, no, humble yourself, and called him back. And I did. And 2 days later, I called him back. The Lord told me how to do it. He said, email them back, send them this picture, this picture, this picture, send them this information, apologize because you had an attitude when you said no, you know. And do it. And I did. I'm just being real. This is how God talks. I don't know how God talks to y'all, but that's how he talks to me. And I sent the letter back, and the guy within hours hit me back and was like, cool, we need you to do this audition, do it this way. He gave me the instructions. I did it. Within a month, I got the job. And I had no idea it was the biggest role in Hollywood, in the MCU. It was one of the biggest characters. What people don't understand about cliffhangers in Marvel is that they only give those positions to the stars. They don't give them to just new faces that just pop up in. They don't do that. And I got the cliffhanger, you know, the end credits. I got that, which is a big deal. And they gave me that. And I didn't know what I was doing. I had no idea until they sent me a script with my name on it. And then I knew this was big. And even still, I didn't realize how big it was until the show aired and the Lord showed me, I just put you in the MCU.
Wow.
I'm trying to tell y'all. do what God, and it doesn't mean you're going to end up the way I did, you know, like, I don't mean that, but you're going to end up the way you have been asking the Lord for your life. Follow what he told you to do.
Yeah, well, all I know is that you made me think. I remember when I was looking at the movie Captain Marvel, and I mm-hmm. saw the scroll, and I was mm-hmm. like, that's an African-American female.
Mm-hmm. mm-hmm.
I didn't know it was you, though.
Well, I was one of the family members, but yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
One of the family members. Okay.
Yeah. So in the movie, when they go back to her, to the spaceship, and then the family comes out of hiding, I was one of them.
Oh, okay.
I was one of them. So we're two different people, because the girl that was the wife, she's a different person than I am. Because everyone thought okay. I was her when I came back in WandaVision. I'm not. I'm one of the family members from in Captain Marvel. I was one of the family members that was in hiding in the spaceship. If you remember the movie where they
yeah,
bring Captain Marvel back to the space. Yeah, and then they played the pinball machine with the little scroll,
uh-huh.
which was actually a very grown woman. Her name is Karen May. She has a daughter. She's an adult. she
wow.
looks like a child, but she is very much a 40-year-old adult.
Wow.
And yeah, they used us and brought us, and they used me. They put me out of that, which is the favor of God, because there was a few of us. And the Lord gave me the position in WandaVision where I'm speaking. And, you know, now I'm in the MCU. But that's what I'm saying. If I hadn't taken that job, which was a lesser job in Captain Marvel, if I had listened to the way everybody told me Hollywood acts, how it works, and how I should have done it their way, if I had followed it the way everybody else was doing it, I wouldn't be in the position I'm in at all right now.
So I know, I think I know, part of MCU means Marvel Universe. What's the C?
Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Cinematic, okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right, wow. That's big. I mean,
yeah.
That is really big.
Yeah.
Well,
There are actors, big name actors that don't even have a position in Marvel. And the Lord just placed that right in my, I didn't go audition. Well, I mean, I ultimately auditioned, but I didn't try out for it. I didn't go looking. They literally came looking for me.
Wow.
They found me. They knew my name and came look and asked me. And I said no. And God was like, humble yourself and go back and apologize and go get that, you know, because he was trying to bless me. He was trying to bless
yeah.
me. It
yeah,
didn't look like what
question.
I thought. It didn't look like what I thought. It didn't come the way I was. I didn't know what that was. I was like, I don't want to do that again. Because like I said, when I was in Captain Marvel, it was a lesser role. It was something that was just like, it was a job nobody really wanted to do. And I did it. I humbled myself and I did it. And it was like, okay, that was fun. Nice. Okay, I'm gone. And when they called me back, I thought they were having me do that lesser job again. And I was like, yeah, I don't want to do that. And the Lord
wow.
didn't explain to me. He didn't explain to me when he told me, humble yourself and do it. He didn't explain to me at that time, oh, this is a big job, a big role. He just said, humble yourself, apologize, and go get that job. So
yeah.
it's still an act of faith. It's still an act of faith and listening to the Lord. I was like, okay, even though I didn't really want to do that type of work anymore, I was following what the Lord told me to do. Well, praise God that I did, because look what it ended up being.
Yeah, wow.
I had no idea.
That's
no
definitely
idea.
Amazing.
Yeah, so that's what I'm trying to teach throughout this whole interview. That's what I'm trying to teach people. Just, you have to listen to the Lord for yourself. You have to listen to him, period. But listen to him for yourself. What is he telling you to do?
That's a good word.
Yeah.
That's a good word. People need to hear that for sure. So what kind of things do you have in the works that you can share coming up? Any marriage prospects, any movie prospects, any what's in the works for you right now?
Well, I will say this. The Lord has told me to stop talking. In terms of like future projects, the Lord has put me in a position ever since I made it. The Lord has literally said to me, I don't want you to talk. I don't want you to share anything.
Okay.
And
I respect
and
that.
I say that. No. But I say that, actually, I don't feel like it was just for me. I feel like it was for you, and I feel like it was for people who are listening as well. There's coming a season right now where God is going to do things in your life. I'm speaking to you, and I'm speaking to your listeners. There's coming a season where God is going to do things in your life, and it is the inclination in social media to post everything that you got going on. Resist that in this next season. Stop talking.
Yeah.
Stop posting everything. Stop posting everything. Stop sharing everything. Stop putting it out there, because you have real enemies. And we don't wrestle with flesh and blood. We don't wrestle. We wrestle with principalities, powers, and, you know, demons in high places. But stop sharing what you're doing, because many of you are giving the enemy, through people, opportunities to trip you up and to take from you and to stop what God is trying to do in your life. And the Lord has really been pushing me with that throughout this pandemic up until now. He's been telling me, not just through me, but confirming it through other people. Some of y'all, this is confirmation. Some of y'all, what I'm saying right now is confirmation. You've heard this already, and this is God warning you one last time. Stop talking. Because there are people out there which their whole purpose is to trip you up and to take what God, or try to stop. And I know, oh, nobody can take what the Lord, maybe not, but you can definitely be delayed. You can definitely
True
be
indeed.
Hindered.
True indeed.
You can definitely be pushed back. You can definitely be held up.
Wow.
And unless you like sitting around waiting on things to happen in your life, you know, instead of getting it when the time frame that the Lord's trying to get it to you, then keep going, keep talking, keep sharing everything, keep posting everything. You're going to
yeah.
see how blessed you are the less people know. And in this season, that is the biggest thing that the Lord is driving home to his children, to his beloved, is to stop talking so much. Society has made it that you got to post everything on social media and you got to show it. Oh, if you don't see it, it didn't happen. No, that's the world's way of looking at it. Why? Because they're watching each other and they're stealing from one another and they're robbing one another and they're doing one, you know, dirty to one another. But the Lord said he is protecting his own. He is defending his own. And what is he saying to us? Stop talking so much. Stop sharing so much. Stop giving these people information to come in and to stop with the move of God and the things that he's doing in your life. And I don't care if it's marriage. I don't care if it's that job promotion. I don't care if it's that new house. I don't care. I've had a friend, the one I mentioned her before, she helped me with my book. And she taught me a valuable lesson. I was too immature to understand what she was saying. This was years ago. This was back in 2014 when I wrote my children's book. And she had, this woman, she had just a regular job. She wasn't even making that much money, but she trusted the Lord for everything. God bless this woman. Literally had a family hand her the house, a 5-bedroom mansion style home. I mean, this house was gorgeous. And nobody knew it. All of us models working together, nobody knew she lived in a house like that, because the way she dressed, the way she looked as average and as plain Jane as possible. And you had girls pulling up at these model jobs, coming in for, not Ferraris, but like coming in, you know, Mercedes and all kinds of nice cars. They dressed in the best of the best and doing this and doing that, and they lived in an apartment. This woman had a whole 5-bedroom house.
Wow.
5-bedroom vaulted ceilings. House in the best of the best area, and she invited me to her house one day, and I was, when I met her, just based on what she looked like, and I got to admit that was superficial on my part, based on what she looked like, I expected her to have just a basic apartment, you know, something little. I'm living in an apartment myself at that time, so I'm like, all right, you know. She pulled up at a house, and she said, Lori, please do not tell anyone what I have. I don't want them to know. And God told me not to share it with them because they don't appreciate it.
Yeah.
and these people believe what they believed about. They mocked her. They made fun of her, you know, laughed at her, looked down on her, had no idea she lived better than all of them.
Wow. Mm. That is a
and
word.
I'm telling you, that is what God is doing in this season, but y'all going to have to stop talking so much. Y'all going to have to stop posting everything at all. Stop it. Society has made that a rule, a thing. You got to do it. You got to show it. No, you don't.
I agree.
No, you don't. Where God
I
has
agree.
Taken many of you, where God is taking you, no, you don't. Because all you're doing is giving your enemy the blueprint on how to take you down and where to attack.
Huh. Yeah.
That's all you're doing.
Well, Lori.
That's my word. That's my word.
I tell you, it sounds like you've been prophesying throughout. And I know you were telling me earlier that the mantle came on you from that, what was her, Mamie? Her name was Mamie?
Mother Mamie Wright, yes.
Mamie Wright, yeah. Mm-hmm. So I'm hearing the prophetic coming out of you a lot. And, you know, you definitely speaking a word from the Lord. I can tell you that for sure. I confirm and agree with what you've been
Amen.
Saying. I guarantee you that the Lord was speaking to people throughout this whole interview. And now I see why it took this long for it to happen, in all honesty. You know, one of the things that I'm starting to accept more is that sometimes things that don't happen in your time that you thought you should do it or whatever, it's not because it's not going to happen. It's because that's for another time that is going to be strategic. It's going to be right when God wanted it to happen. And I really feel like that's what happened with us, because I was so, like, at the time when we first spoke, I was so ready to do your interview, and then things just started happening and popping up in my life, and I got caught up in other things, and then I was, you know, then I was on some other interviews and some other thoughts and whatever, and then it was like periodically I would think about, oh, I need to do that interview with Lori, and then, you know, it just wouldn't happen, and, you know, and I felt really bad about it, and I was like, man, and then especially when I realized how much time had gone by. And I was like, man, she probably thought I just said something. I didn't even mean it. And I really wasn't trying to do that. And that was probably the thing that bothered me the most, because I don't like people feeling like I'm not going to follow through with something or whatever. I hate that. So I was like, that was my biggest concern about you thinking that I wasn't going to follow through and that I was just, you know, blowing smoke or whatever. And so I'm just grateful though, for this, that this happened now when it did, because I feel like this was a perfect timing for it. And I definitely am grateful that you were, willing to still do it after all this time. And I just, you know, I appreciate you being on here, sharing your story. I believe that your story is definitely going to encourage people that listen to it, and you have really dropped some gems. You dropped a lot of gems in this interview, and so I want to definitely make sure that, you know, this is something that is put out there for people to hear. And like I said, I mean, it's like a whole generation that needs to hear what you were saying. I'm telling you, that is powerful. You know, you were dropping some knowledge that that really needs to be heard by people, kids, specifically females that are under 30. Some of them even older 30, but a lot of them specifically under 30 need to hear what you were talking about so that they can now course correct, so to speak, with their lives and get back on track and be able to have a better outcome. So I thank you for that. I appreciate you. And I'm going to say like this. We're definitely going to stay in touch And, you know, there's more to be done and said and whatnot in the future. And I'm looking forward to what God is going to do in your life and how he's going to continue to use you in Hollywood and beyond. So, so again, thank you for being on the show. Now, I wanted to ask you something. Do you have a way that, like, if there's people that whatever, like, they might need to, they want to talk about, like, things dealing with human trafficking maybe or whatever. Like, do you have a way that you like for people to contact you or what?
Not so much that, but like I am reachable in my social media, particularly like my my Instagram, as you know, even my Facebook Messenger. I'm usually kind of reachable there. Of course, I have to be a little bit more careful now because the times have changed, you know, a little bit. And it's not me being bougie or anything like that, but it's wisdom, really. But I'm on all social media platforms. I've become a speaker, an influencer, if you will, on TikTok, especially. So my TikTok name is I Am Lori Livingston. I kind of speak similar situations like this. I don't really go into the sex trafficking as much as I have in the times past, but I definitely speak to men and women, you know, so I think the message is still pretty potent over there as well. I also had another page, which has been shadow banned and shut down, but it's still up. That's Lori Livingston 11, but my current page is I Am Lori Livingston on TikTok. So if you can, follow me there. I'm on YouTube as well, Lori Livingston, same stuff. Everything that I do, wherever else I do it, I just transfer it over there. Instagram as well, Lori Livingston. That's a little bit more of my own personal life, so to say. I don't speak as I gave that message, but you know, I'll post some stuff here and there just to kind of show some things. But and Facebook, if anybody is still doing that, Facebook is still up as well.
Okay. Well, I just sent you a friend request on Facebook.
Okay. So
when you get the chance, check that. Yeah, so again, thank you for being on the show.
Thank you for having me. Thank you.
Oh, yeah, definitely. It was a pleasure. I want to thank all of the audience, my fam out there, New Numa Nation, for listening to the show today. I'm sure that you got a lot out of it. And, you know, go make sure you follow her on Instagram and TikTok as well, like she said. And make sure that if you're not already subscribed, subscribe to the podcast on your favorite platform. If you're on Apple Podcasts, make sure you give us a 5-star rating with an inspirational quote as well, to get other people to realize that they should listen in and they're going to get a lot of gems here. Thank you again for supporting New Numa Godcast. Peace.
Thanks for listening to the New Numa Godcast once again. This is your host, Norm. Follow me at Norm the Professor on IG. I'm in agreement for power and breakthrough in your life. Keep tuning in every week for that real talk, new life.